Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you. We are live in the studio on this beautiful November day. I'm Lynette, and Dr. Jerry Mixon is here, Dr. Samira Umat. Oh, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Yes. Well, you can tell we're ready, and we are wild. Wild and ready
wild?
To go.
We're wild?
What is
well,
that?
You are wild.
Dr. Mixon is.
Well, personally, I'm a staid, elderly gentleman.
I don't think I've ever been called wild before.
Well, don't you like that? Every man wants to be considered slightly dangerous.
And, oh, is that true? Yeah, the bad boy is there, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Only one of those in the studio here. Yeah, Dr. Umat and I are both looking at you, Dr. Mixon. Yay. Well, here we are, considered Thanksgiving week, and we will not be here next week. We have a wonderful recorded show for you. That way we can each be with our families next weekend and then back live in the studio.
And actually, Lynette,
in 2 weeks.
You don't know, but Dr. Mixon talked about what he's thankful for in that show. So if anybody's interested.
Oh, boy. Okay, what Dr. Mixon? Did he mention us by name? Oh, I'm already turning red.
Yes, no.
No.
Then tune in to find out.
That's right, next week. So we
all
will not be live.
Tune in next week and find out.
There
when I talked about all the things I'm grateful for, was I able to keep it clean enough for radio?
There you go.
We'll see.
we'll find out from our producer.
We'll find out, yes.
Yes, we will. So some new things for you, as well as some of our favorite calls that we will be featuring next weekend. So you can't call in, but you will get lots of wonderful information, as always, on Leading Edge Medicine. So wanted to make sure you knew about that. And today, November 18th, is a very busy day at two of our three clinics.
That's right. Both Tacoma and Kirkland working away today for the Galleri test, which is an early cancer detection test and specifically focusing on pancreatic cancer this month, as this is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
It is unfortunately one of those cancers where there is no screening test. Symptoms are vague in the beginning. I mean, if you have jaundice, I think that'll probably get the doctor's attention early, but not everybody presents that way. Most people present with just fatigue, which is not diagnosed for a very, very long time. And by the time they diagnose it, it's too late to do anything.
Okay.
And when they present with fatigue, they're told, well, you're just getting older. Learn to adjust to it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one slight difference. I think this is the only screening test for pancreatic cancer out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, there is no other test. So Pancreatic Cancer Month.
Yeah,
the month of November.
And so, you know, if you've had either a family history or pancreatitis in the past or alcohol use history in the past, or you're just worried and want to know, there is no other way to go. And for this month especially, we've lowered the price from $1,250 to $1,100, and you can get it at our clinics. Lynnwood had a wonderful, successful event a couple of weekends ago, and today at Tacoma and in Kirkland. The teams are in. It is by appointment, but if you do want to do it, please call and see if they can accommodate
you. Yes, in fact, we checked, and you can call right now, and they'll see if they can get you scheduled in there. So let me go ahead and get that number. It's 866 86 Young. That's the number we like to give on the show. Nice and easy to remember. And you can call and say, hey, can I get in for the gallery test? 866-86 Young. This is, again, happening in Kirkland today and in our Tacoma Longevity Clinics. So wanted to let you be aware of that.
And, you know, most providers don't have access to the test and cannot offer this test to you. So if you know about it, you're interested, but don't know where to go, well, here, our doors
Hello.
Are wide
yes.
open today.
Wide open today. All right. And doctors, we've already got the phones ringing for the show today. Would you like to just dive in with a phone call?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. If you have a call, if you have a question today, we are live today. Would love to talk with you. Phone lines are available at 206-421-5757. We're headed to Auburn, and we have John on the line. Good morning, John.
Hello, John.
Good morning, people.
Hello.
I have an abscess in my bladder, and it's because I have a fistula between my bladder and my rectum. Mm-hmm. So I have excrement entering my bladder.
Yep.
So far, I feel I've been asymptomatic. But doctors are urging me to get a colostomy. However, I don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. What suggestions do you have that I might that might have an effect on that abscess in my bladder? After two CT scans about 2 months apart, it has not, it's basically the same size.
Mm. Wow.
And so I'm looking for ideas.
Okay,
give me something wild.
Yeah, the colostomy is kind of the standard answer that most physicians are going to give you. Question, why did you develop a fistula? Have you had radiation for prostate, or what was going on?
Well,
what triggered this?
I've had everything. I have Gleason 10 prostate cancer.
Okay,
so that
explains.
It was originally diagnosed as urothelial carcinoma, and then it morphed into this.
I see. Okay. Yeah, so a urethral carcinoma, prostate cancer, Gleason 10. So you've had radiation and surgeries, I presume, and
no surgeries, chemo.
Chemo, okay.
No
radiation.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said no radiation.
Oh yeah, radiation for sure.
Yeah. So radiation and chemo. Okay, because getting fistulas without a radiation burn of some sort is kind of rare. All right. Wow.
Tough one. Mm. How old are you, sir?
79.
Okay.
All right. So, not a great surgical candidate.
Well, he doesn't want... Well, which surgery? Colostomy or...
Any surgery.
Any surgery.
What I'm thinking is, colostomy is fairly simple. You divert the stool, and then it's easier to clear up the infection in the bladder because you don't have stool heading that way anymore. Trying to do the surgery and interrupt the fistula.
Yeah.
Trying to go in and basically clean out that, tie it off, and ablate the fistula so that you stop getting to. But your problem is with the chemo and the radiation, the tissue down there in a 79-year-old man is just going to be tissue paper, really crummy tissue to work with. And almost anything you do surgically is going to have a big, high failure rate.
You know, a colostomy may seem like a horrible solution, but I have patients who have had colostomies. Some of them were reversed because it was just temporary, and some that were permanent. And they all really adapt to it, and they make it work. It becomes a way of life, and you know they just know that there are some things they'll have to do to clean it and to keep it sterile. But it doesn't then interrupt many of the things that they do in life, so they can still live life without worrying. Here with the fistula, I'm worried that the abscess might become an issue, infections mm-hmm. will become an issue, his quality of life will be compromised because of that. And then he might develop secondary dietary problems from it. The question is when, and can you delay it any longer, or should you delay it or not?
Is that a fistula or a fistula and an abscess that has not changed in two months?
Yeah.
So it's a chronic now, an abscess. You know, sir, I'm afraid that any surgical intervention trying to close the fistulas and avoid the colostomy have a probability of failing. You know, your alternatives are extremely limited, I'm afraid.
And if you're going to go the colostomy route anyways, you'd prefer to do it under non-urgent and emergent circumstances. You want to plan this. You don't want
Absolutely.
To have to do it under emergency. Now we, you know, don't have any other option.
Yeah.
Well, the colorectal doctor that I talked to, he indicated that I'm still likely to have some kind of leakage, even though I have the colostomy. Once I have the colostomy, I no longer have stool down at the rectal verge.
Right.
Now, what's happening now is that stool keeps me from leaking urine up my rectum. There's a good effect I eat high fiber, like steel-cut oats every day, and it blocks that leakage. And then I take a laxative and I clean myself out. If I get the colostomy and I got to deal with the leakage, which is going to be continuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish they could. I realize that if there were some kind of thumb they could put in there that I wouldn't feel to stop the leakage, I'd go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm questioning the whole thing.
Mm.
You know, I'm taking curcumin and green tea extract. I don't know if this is going to be of any significance or not. But if I'm stuck with that leaking, let me tell you, it's really annoying.
I
agree. And then the question is, would they want to do a ureostomy with the colostomy? You know, they can divert the urine, too.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot.
Wow. Yeah.
But then I have two bags outside my body.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
and
then I'm informed it still may be leaking somewhat, and it's not reversible. So
that's true.
You know,
oh, my goodness. Today is a day for some really tough people calling.
Yeah, our last show had some really hard questions.
Oh, goodness.
should we take a break here, Dr. Mixon, and
take
continue?
Take a break. Let me think about it and see if I can come up with something. But
John, could you stay on the line? We're going to take our quick break here and be right back. And our lines are available for you as well. Now's the time to call in. Don't wait till the end of the show. 206-421-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in line. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-through-4 slide. I'd raise the loot in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Fun music and live in the studio, Dr. UMAT, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we have room for your calls. We always encourage you to call at the beginning of the show. Don't wait until the very end because sometimes we can't get everyone in. Dale, we weren't able to get to you last week. So, call us up and get in here.
Last week, you remember?
Oh,
really?
I did look.
Okay.
I did look.
She wrote it down.
Good for you. I did write it down.
I'm so impressed.
I love my notes.
But still, for her to remember. Very good. Very nice.
There we go. Dale, we want you to call us back if you can. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. And we've been talking about John.
Right. And John, I don't see any really great answers for you. During the break, Dr. UMAT suggested that we get you in contact with a colostomy support group so that you're talking to people that have actually had this done and are coping with it and have found, you know, ways to adjust and tricks and tips and stuff to use. What I was thinking was, if I were in your situation, I think I would lean first to do a colostomy, and then once that was sealed off, work on cleaning up that abscess, get the abscess cleaned out, drained, decent antibiotic therapy if necessary, and then after the bladder is normalized as much as it's going to get, then try to have a urologic surgeon close off the bladder end of the fistula. You probably have to excise some tissue and then close that off, because then you would stop the backflow, the urine to the rectum. Mm. Okay. It would probably have to be done as a two-step procedure. Well, three-step. First, the colostomy, let that heal, clean up the abscess, then see if it looks possible to seal off the bladder side of the fistula. Mm-hmm. The rest of the fistula is probably just going to be there, sit there. But if you seal off the bladder side and let it drain off the rectum, at least now you don't run the urine back down to the rectum.
It would make my bladder smaller. Is that what happened?
That would, yes. Yeah, it would. Whether the surgery is technically difficult will be determined on how much damage has been done to the bladder and how good the tissue is and what he thinks the chances of it healing are. So it's a bit iffy, but, you know, that would be the sequence that I would approach this. It's not a perfect answer, but it's the best I can do, I fear.
Well, it's better than none of my doctors have. I've been to two colorectal surgeons, and they've had the traditional response to it. The first colorectal surgeon was afraid that the fistula would grow so much that I would not be able to excrete. That's not a problem. It hasn't developed yet.
Mm. Yeah, and we want to stop this before it does, obviously.
Let me ask you about the best method of detecting the metastasis of my prostate cancer. There's a test called PSMA PET-CT.
Right.
Scan. Is that the best? Don't they introduce a radioactive element into it to help?
Yeah, there's a tracer. Positron emission scan is what it is. They use a marker, and it will be taken up by any metastasis, and that lets it heat up so that on the MRI, they're able to see this positron emission and say, yep, it's right there. It's probably the most accurate thing you're going to do. And, you know, your problem is with the fistulas, with the old radiation damage, with the chemo, with the cancer, you've got so much inflammation down in your pelvis. The sorting out what is what is going to take a real expert. So, you know, this is one of those areas where you go to the imaging center, you go to the doctors that do this for a living, and you have a nice long chat with them. And, let them see the problem and let them do some problem solving. They are the far more knowledgeable than I am about the limits and capacities and diagnostic abilities of their tools. I know how it works in general terms, but long, long, long way from being in their league when it comes to figuring out exactly which test will give me the best result in this particular, let's phrase it, horrendous situation. You've got a lot of disease down there and a lot of damage, and you need real experts who are willing to put in the time and the effort and a little creative thought about how to approach this. You don't need somebody who takes 5 seconds and says, well, here's the standard, here's what we do all the time. that's not what you need.
In June, I was down at MD Anderson, and they did a PET CT scan.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed it had not metastasized at that point.
Good. That's wonderful.
To the rest of my body. You know, it's still metastasis, but it's been localized in the bladder rectal area.
Yeah, we call it invasive as opposed to metastatic. Metastatic is when it goes to remote areas. Invasive is when it grows right into the tissues. So,
well, thank you. That's a better explanation than I've had before.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Thank you for all your time.
You're welcome, sir.
Do you have
a
phone number for a colorectal support group?
I don't know.
I can dig it up. It's okay. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, maybe even Googling it up, John, colorectal support group near me or near Seattle or Auburn, and maybe some groups will pop up for you.
And your surgeons might be able to connect you, but you want to talk to a patient. You don't want to talk to the nurse who can explain it. That is also very good, but you really want to talk to people who've had it done.
Yes.
And what is their quality of life like? How did they overcome it? What were the problems and those kind of things?
Nobody knows more about coping with these issues than the people that actually have the problem and have the, quote, solution and are living with the consequences of what we doctors have done to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what's amazing is that nobody suggested that until you guys came along. So I'm a little disappointed in the medical community, even though they may be good. They're not complete enough.
I can tell you right now, and I have said this on the air many times over the years, there are days that I feel an urge to apologize for my entire profession. You know, they've gotten, in my view, medicine is a weird hybrid between a business and a priestly calling. And I think we sometimes forget the priestly calling. You know, we are here to heal, to help people. You know, my own background is a little odd for a doctor. You know, I mean, my first job in the service, you know, I was with a hunter-killer team, and my job was finding and killing people my government decided needed to die. And in the process, I got myself shot up several times and shrapnel wounds and one bayonet wound. And when I got out of service, the extreme violence of my youth convinced me that I needed to make a major change in my life. And after some period of reflection, I chose medicine as my calling. And so for 47 years, I have devoted my life to try to, in some ways, expiate the sins of my youth. You know, I try to do as much good for as many people as I possibly can. My entry into medicine was a bit odd, and it's affected the rest of my life.
Well, you know, you're the best generalist that I know of. Everybody I've talked to is pretty much a specialist, and like Buckminster Fuller said, there's too many specialists in the world, not enough generalists.
Yeah.
Right. And you're in that generalist category.
I was a country doctor for decades, you know, before I became an aging doctor.
What did they say? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians?
Yeah. That's right. Yep. And somehow, you know, unfortunately, family physicians have become referral services and triage officers. They don't really do much anymore, which I think is a shame. Mm. You know, when I was a country doctor, we only had three doctors in the whole county.
Mm.
And so anything and everything that came up, we had to do.
Mm.
Yeah, especially in the wintertime when the blizzards and stuff would come rolling through. So, yeah. We used to call what we did pucker butt medicine because our anal sphincter was in spasm about half the time. But, you know, but we did what we needed to do. So.
Oh, Dr. Mixon.
Well, Well, my last word.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like that when I had to do my first IV and my first this and my first that.
Yeah.
Traditional Medicare.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call, sir.
And good luck to you.
Good
sir.
Luck.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're back with more of your calls. Phone lines are open for Leading Edge Medicine, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. We are ready for your phone calls. And Daniel, we just lost you. Call back. We'll get you right on Leading Edge Medicine. We want you to call if you have a question about aging, 206-421-5757. And we just dropped Daniel. Do you have an email question here about just went to the doctor, got all my tests back. Everything looks good. However, my protein in my urine was spiked a bit. Is that a concern? What does that mean?
It's a concern.
It is a concern.
But it would make
I love
me,
that. Doctor said everything was normal.
Everything was normal.
Except that if there's protein in the urine,
yeah.
Then you want to say why.
Yeah, and why.
And because protein in the urine can be from a simple bladder infection. You got bugs in your urine and you're making protein. I mean, that would be you could be a diabetic and have protein spills because you're developing chronic kidney disease. But if you're developing chronic kidney disease, all your tests shouldn't be normal unless he didn't do good tests, because he should have looked at your blood urea nitrogen, your serum creatinine, and calculated your glomerular filtration rate. Say
wow.
That one real fast.
And I don't see any of those in the emails. So the glomerular...
Right. Glomerular filtration rate, which should be above 60. And so if the BUN is high, the creatinine is high, and the GFR is low, then we have to say, oh, this person's spilling protein because they have bad kidneys, and we need to figure out why. So, there's a fair number of reasons you can get for this. Heart failure. Yeah, congestive heart failure. You back up, increase venous pressure in the kidneys and start to dump it. A whole lot of stuff.
A pregnant woman could be in eclampsia.
Yep.
High blood pressure could be very high. So lots of different causes.
Yeah. But none of that goes with the first part of the statement.
Everything looks normal.
Wow. Except protein in the urine. Something is not normal or there wouldn't be protein in the urine.
Okay.
And also, Jerry, we define normal as a bell-shaped curve, but normal doesn't mean optimal function. And so sometimes we have to look on the fringes and say, okay, what is suboptimal here and therefore could contribute to the protein in the urine? But more globally, it's a bigger picture of what is happening to your body, your brain, your heart, your metabolic system, your kidneys, your lungs, so much more involved.
Which is, of course, what we do at Longevity Medical Clinic.
That's right.
I want you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, happier, and by the by, I want your tests to be optimal, not just normal.
Normal, yeah. Oh, except for this little thing we noticed. Yeah. Okay, which couldn't be a little thing. Are there things to do about that?
That depends on
what it is,
what's causing. If you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are pretty poor.
Okay.
So first diagnosis, then therapy. Protein in the urine is a symptom. It's a finding. It's a hint to start looking for why.
Okay.
But you darn well better start looking for why.
Who said doctors aren't detectives?
We are.
Yes, totally. Yeah, they're kind of like CSIs, but while the person is still alive.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, we don't go to the autopsy.
Yeah, you don't want them to.
Probably to stay away from the autopsies as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, all right. Well, you know, that's like you said, one of the things that longevity does do and has been doing for patients for over 25 years, which is why if you haven't come in for that free health analysis appointment, we encourage you to do that because you do two blood tests. What are those, Dr. Umat?
Oh, the blood test is to find out what your sugar level is in the blood. Sugar level can give us a marker for whether you are damaging internal organs or not. Prediabetes is a name, but it means that the sugar is damaging the smallest of blood vessels in the eyes, the kidneys, the peripheral nerves are being damaged. And that can then cause dementia and so many other conditions. So we're trying to find clues. See the detective work that we were talking about?
Yes, the clues.
These are the clues that we're looking for. And then the other test is the InBody, a very valuable tool to look at muscle to muscle mass to visceral fat tissue and what is the ratio, because muscle makes brain-derived neurotrophic factors. Muscle helps in healing and repair. Muscle is necessary in the currency of aging, whereas our natural tendency as we get older is to lose muscle and gain fat. And even the muscle fibers themselves develop more fat. And that fat we used to think was innocuous, but it's not. It's a pro-inflammatory agent. And chronic inflammation is the root cause of most chronic diseases. Autoimmune, dementia, diabetes, arthritis, degenerative joint disease, cancers. The list just goes on and on. And so you want to curb that and nip it in the bud. And the thing is, you can actually do it. And so we want to find out the risk factors. You know, as we were talking just now about the scenarios and the detective work, it reminded me of when I took my boards. Mm-hmm. And the examiners just change the situation on you as you're answering the question. They'll go, okay, doctor, so this is your patient. And so what would you like to ask? And then they give you the results of what you asked. And then they tell you, now what would you do? And then you go to the labs. And they go, now what would you do? And they change the labs on you, you know? So they create these scenarios. They're trying to figure out whether you can think on the spot of the moment, whether you can analyze, and whether you can figure out what the other possibilities are. So, you know, that urine in the blood is a marker. And as we said, it is a marker for something going on. It may be nothing, but it could be a whole lot of very serious things. And you just want to know. High cholesterol is not, oh, well, I have high cholesterol. Everybody in my family has high cholesterol. What does that really mean? Hmm. Which particle is it? Is it laying down plaque? Is that plaque going to cause a stroke? Is it going to block blood flow to my brain? Is it going to affect my kidneys? You need to know these things. And, you know, we can find out. We can look, we can investigate, we can find out, and then you can work on reducing the risk. So when we talk about lifespan, we talk about health span. And that's what we are after, improving the health span in your lifespan and reducing the risk for chronic disease. And if you have chronic disease, then improving your quality of life despite that chronic disease.
Well, see, lifespan was good. Health span is better.
Yes.
But as a man married to a woman 30 years my junior, I'm after hot span.
Is that in the medical books, Dr. Yes. Umat?
Lifespan, health span, and hot span. I still want that young woman I'm married to think I'm hot.
He's on a roll today.
I think so. What is he drinking in his tea over there?
I don't know. He's coming up with all these things today. But, you know, I'm sure there are other men out there. But, you know, it's not just men. It's women, too, right?
Yes.
As you're getting older, there are things in your life that you love, that you enjoyed, that you cannot do anymore. And sometimes we just take it for granted. Oh, life is busy, still got to drive the kids, got to take care of aging parents, got to do the work. And that boss really scolded me today. Whatever. It becomes overwhelming. There was a time when you could handle it, and then there comes a time when it becomes a little too much.
But, you know, I joke about the hot span, but everybody, male and female, wants to be considered attractive as long as we can, in as many ways as we can. You know, yesterday, Bandine and I, we walked down to the market. We needed a few things, so we walk. The market's maybe three quarters of a mile from our home. So we walk down in the night, buy a few things, get to the checkout counter, and the young woman at the checkout counter, I don't know, she's maybe 20, she looked at Bending and said, "God, you're so pretty."
Hmm.
She said, "Does everybody tell you how pretty you are?"
Well, she is.
But you got to remember.
Oh, but this is from a 20-year-old.
She's turning 48 in January. Mm. So she's 47 years old, getting almost to 48. And to be told by a young woman how pretty she is is great for her ego. It just makes you feel wonderful.
Yes, sure. Yes, you know? It does. Yeah.
And of course, my response is, yeah, and I'm with her. You know? But, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Sure. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it means to you, you want to feel your best, look the best that you want to look.
Yes.
And it comes from inside. Once you have your health, you know, everything else can be fixed. It's when you lose your health, you lose your desire and everything else that goes with it. And so in order to be vibrant at any age, you need to take care of yourself, and the inside matters. The rest follows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh,
that's good. Well, we want you to come here to Longevity, talk to Dr. Umat, our team of doctors, and so many more. You know, they're all here to support you.
That's what we do.
And that's what they
do.
We
make your insides more vibrant.
That's right. And if the inside's looking good and feeling good, the outside is going to do the same thing.
It'll look better.
Yes. Make that appointment. Come in for that free health analysis appointment that we are continuing to offer to you, and get scheduled. We've got 3 clinics for you to choose from: Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. That's Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. Pick a day, a time, and let's get you in here to Longevity. Here's the number to call. And don't wait. Don't say, "Oh, I'll just wait until after Christmas." No, call now. Get scheduled before Christmas so you can be on your way in this new year. Here's the number: 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. All right, we'll be back. And right now is a great time to call. We could talk with you about whatever is bothering you, whatever is ailing you. If you've got a recent diagnosis or some symptoms you just don't quite understand, or maybe you haven't gotten through in the past couple of weeks, give us a call. We are live in the studio this week. Leading Edge Medicine, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Love this one. This is such a bouncy, happy song.
Yep.
Love this one. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. Taking your calls, your questions about your health, aging health, things you just don't understand, like that last email about, okay, everything's normal, but this, and that this could have been a big deal.
Number
with the
of things, yeah.
Protein in the urine. So maybe some more questions for your doctor on that, or maybe get a copy of the lab test and come over here to Longevity and let's find out what's going on. Here's the number to get through with your questions, 206-421-5757. Ken is calling in from Kent right now. So Ken from Kent, good morning.
Hello,
how are
Ken.
You, Ken?
Good morning. I'm calling you guys because I have a serious question.
All right.
I've been listening to you for years. Doc, nothing but applause for you and your staff.
Well, thank you, sir.
Non-drug taker, engineer, suffered a stroke 2015-16, and been taking care of myself, got care. Engineering fell apart. I was worried so much about whether or not my next job was going to be in aeronautics or whatever. Bottom line is, when I suffered the stroke, I lost right part of my brain. Just blank.
Yep.
So I spent a lot of time learning how to talk, walk, do the things that I need to do to take care of myself, and topics of discussion. relaying information. This is a call about my kidney physician, my nephrologist.
Okay.
I've had him since 2019. 2019. Yeah, that sounds right. And it been 2023 for the past 2 years. Every year at October, he stops my prescriptions for allopurinol, 100 milligrams twice a day. But at the time, for the years previous, it was only 100 milligrams once a day. Then chlorothalidone, which is my blood pressure medicine. I've had blood pressure my whole life. Thank you, father and mother.
Okay.
Now I'm staring at my... I had to go in for an A1C check. It's required twice a year. And this one I had taken after I spent a whole week understanding what biscotti was.
Okay.
And so it was a delight, of course.
Of course.
I bought five different kinds and had to try them all. Mm-hmm. And then the next day or two, I had to go in for the test. I took the test. He said, oh, my God, your A1C is 9.
Ooh.
It's normally 7, 6.5, somewhere in there. And I explained to the doctor, who was a replacement for my primary care physician, this is what happened. This is why my intake is so high. This is why my A1C is off. And she laughed and said, oh, I hear that every day. And so I'm back on my regular schedule. I'm not eating bread at all, hardly. And I'm staring right at the report. And, yeah, the acidic content of my urine because of the allopurinol is at median. Everything I carry in the charts is median. Now, this means that I was just less than 2 weeks off of my medication that I didn't know I was going to stop receiving. And so I was 2 weeks of not taking the medication, chlorothalidone and allopurinol. Yeah. It looks so easy when you call in and you're staring right at the chart and you're thinking, oh, I'll miss that. I'll never remember it. I'll never forget it. What are the vital signs? I don't know. You know, I'll go right back up to the top here. And it was at 9. And the panel results, if you bun, creatine, GFR, sodium, what would you like to know?
Well, what's the question?
Because my problem is blood pressure.
Okay. The high blood pressure.
Yeah, so...
I've had it my whole life. Yeah.
I understand, but I'm curious why they keep stopping your chlorothalidone and your allopurinol. I mean, the allopurinol, well, I presume, is to keep you from having a gout flare, but the...
Yeah, and... Yeah.
The chlorothalidone is a mild diuretic to help pull off a little extra water and drop your blood pressure somewhat.
Okay, now, they started me on glipizide about 2 years ago. They had me taking low-dose glucose to get my sugar level back up or whatever it is. I forgot, but...
Trying to get it down, yes.
They said, yeah, and then they have to do that as a procedure to let you know what exactly how much diabetes means to you and your living, I think. So the glipizide's been great. I take 2 5-milligram tablets, one morning, one at night. Yeah. So why do they stop it is my third most bearing question, and they've done it for 2 years, going on 3. And I don't know why, because, okay, let's just retract a little bit and think back. We went through a pandemic. There were needs to not be visited by a doctor at any cost, masking required and all that for 2020, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. Now we hear in 23, he requires a callback. In the meantime, why are my medications stopping? That's my first question.
Well, I can make a guess. Obviously, well, I don't know your doctor. But generally, they write prescriptions for a year. And the hope is you'll go in and see your doctor the month before the prescription stop and get them renewed for the next year. That's generally the reason that they would be stopped, is that you've been more than a year since your visit.
Well, also, you know, they want to make sure that if they need to change the dose, they know, and if there's any side effect, they're picking it up.
Sure.
So lots of different.
Well, and he's got a lot of problems, and so, you know, he should be seen at least annually. In fact, I would say if I were still a country doc and he had all these issues, I'd be wanting to see him a lot more often than once a year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if our patients don't come in for a while, over a year, we also hold meds because we're not taking care of them then. We can't prescribe something that we don't know how they're using or what it's doing to them.
Yeah. So
I've been with him for almost 5 years.
I understand, but when was the last time you saw him?
It was in 2021 before the pandemic.
And that's why your meds got stopped, is that he can write the prescriptions for up to a year. Control substances no more than 6 months. And then he is expected to see you before he rewrites them because your life may well have changed and the effects may be quite different. And, you know, so he needs to rewrite them.
Stop the medications, though. I just don't understand. If everything else is normal, why would you stop the medications to a patient that you've had for more than 5 years and every return of testing indicates it's the proper way to go?
Yeah.
What cost? He's risking my high blood pressure.
Yep. And again, you know, what I have done in the past when I was a country doc is if somebody called and said the pharmacy won't refill it, I'd get them a 1 month supply, and then they'd have to come in and see me before that month was out.
Mm-hmm. We do the same.
Yep. Yeah. My doctor does the same. Yeah. And I have to get in there. And the pandemic started in 2020, so it could have even been longer for him.
Yeah.
Wow. Ken, we've got to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. We're looking for your calls, and right now is the time to call. We will not be live in the studio next week. Here's the number, 206-421-5757.